We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to a Tuesday night edition of the RotoWire hashtag After Dark Champions League show. My name is Jack Burkhart. You can find me on Twitter at Jack Burkhart. I am joined, as always, by Ryan Belongi, and we are here to lick our wounds. I got a big kick out of that when I read that in the YouTube thumbnail when I was posting the show on Twitter, Ryan. And that's how it's felt like with UCL these days, a frustrating two-game slate. Things not going my way. I don't know. How'd it go for you today, Ryan?
Oh, yeah. No, nothing went my way either in DFS. Yeah, I feel okay since Arsenal advanced. I mean, it's probably the best I've ever felt, losing $1,000. But yeah, I was a chalk donkey, I guess you could say, in tournaments, and didn't work out. Like you said, a lot of variance in Champions League kind of happened exactly like you said. I guess one big decision I made was fading Cancelo. I see you did that too. Of course, he punishes us to the max.
Scores the goal in the 20th minute. That's the story of my life on these short slates lately. I'm sorry.
Yeah. No. I mean, it was almost Rafinha's goal. You know, it bounced back off the inside of the post to Cancelo, and he hit it into the empty net. Rafinha was the key in tournaments. That was a great play, I gotta say. Rafinha was a fantastic play. People weren't sure he was gonna start, then he does. Everyone's on Yamal and Havertz for cheaper, and Saka and Lewandowski, and you knew Rafinha was gonna come in low owned, and I couldn't click it, but the people that did, I think he was like 10% in some of the contests I checked. He almost nuked the slate, but I mean, he was still. And then, of course, Raya, you know, we talked about that yesterday. Normally always play Raya in these spots. Finally go down to the cheap goalie, and Raya was optimal by quite a bit. So, yeah, I don't know. Everything went bad for me. How about you?
It mostly went bad for me. I had some common sense to play a little bit lighter, so I just – didn't get completely trucked, and I fortunately get to play the low stakes double ups, which overlaid a bit, so I was able to salvage, but not because of playing well, Ryan. It was because of contest selection. So I always have contest selection on my side. We have our cash games pull up here. It's a two gamer, so it's not worth looking much into, but Ryan and I both mostly play the same thing. I played Saka, Yamal, Gundogan, Odegaard, and then I punted twice at center back. I faded Cancelo. I thought the decision was Cancelo or Rice, and I preferred Rice, and Cancelo got the goal, but the cheap defenders I think were worthwhile. I played Saliba and Gabriel, and then I just played the cheapest goalkeeper, which I'm always happy to do in cash. Ryan, you played the same lineup. You just played Havertz instead of Odegaard, and then you got to play Koundé, who plays fullback for Barcelona. What had you preferring Havertz to Odegaard?
That's a good question. I just ran my high stakes lineup in cash games, to be perfectly honest with you. I felt like it was good enough.
I think it is.
Most of my action, like almost all of my action, was in tournaments. So I just threw that lineup in there. why did I do it? Yeah, I my decision was like Cancelo and maybe spend up a keeper or try to play Yamal or Havertz in the flex. Like I wanted five good outfield players, all with ceilings. I don't know yet. I thought Havertz might have a slightly better floor. Arsenal didn't really dominate quite as much as I thought. I don't know. They finished with 12 shots or something, maybe a few more. I don't remember an extra time, but yeah, I don't know, Jack. I was always going to play Havertz here. Been talking up Havertz for a while. Obviously,
Havertz
I couldn't.
Right.
I mean, he scored in a ton of games in a row. It's tough for me to get off him in that spot. But yeah, I think for cash games, that was definitely the move to play Odegaard over him. Well, punished by Cancelo, though.
Such is life. I don't have the King of the Pitch pulled up. I didn't play it today, Ryan. But shout out to subscriber us to Jodo7. I think he had two lineups in the top two, and both of them would have won by 10 comfortably. Ryan, I think there is a good lesson from that lineup. He got Firmin, who's an attacking midfielder for Barcelona, in a good spot at 4%. I mean, if you had a player that's 4% in like a showdown slate on a favorite, if you just imagine it that way, what a smash that would be if you could play a 4% player in a showdown. And so on a two game slate, when you do have that leverage option, I mean, Rice is going to score 10 points a lot of time. You get the goal from Firmin. That's, 10 points picked up on the field. I don't know. I thought that was a sick play when you get him for 4%. It makes sense that you're playing in when the king pitch pays. If it's not only paying just first place, it's giving you like a, 12-15 for finishing second.
Totally agree. Great play. And he came in at 4%. Look, this was a slate where just everybody played the exact same lineup. And you kind of knew that going in. So that made it even better. We kind of said that on the pod that he was going to be leveraged. I couldn't pull the trigger, but again, look, you pull the trigger on guys like Firmin and Rafinha and you get what you deserve. Like you deserve to win I see like he has Kai Havertz on his lineup and he's still 1-3. So that just tells you what a great lineup it was. So yeah, congrats. I always, for some reason, say Stahodo in my head, but you pronounce the J. So
I guess I've never said it out loud. It's like when you're reading a book and it's like the name of like some made up country, and then like you hear like the audiobook say it in a completely different way. But maybe if Stajodo or Stahodo is in the chat.
He crushed. I'm looking at it now. Like the first and second place lineup just way ahead of the field, and Havertz in the first place lineup. Yeah, that's awesome. Congrats.
Yeah, I don't know how to judge if someone should be 25% owned and they're 30. Like, is that good? Is that bad? That's like a difficult mathematical problem. But I know very much heuristically that a 5% attacking player, like who has good per minute peripherals, like Firmin at 5%, that's absurd in the King of the Pitch contest. I agree. You get what you deserve. 9 times out of 10, you get crucified by the chalk. But that's a pretty good range of outcomes for a King of the Pitch entry.
Yeah, like when you hit, you hit first, at least that's what the goal should be. And
there's no min cash in this contest. I think it was
right. So that's awesome.
Just a lesson. I don't know. I try to get better, keep being a chalk donkey. So
it's tough too, especially because, if you've been losing or coming off losses, or the tendency is to play even safer. And you get a slate like today where the chalk looks really good, at least the few main pieces. and yeah, absolutely punished. I got absolutely punished for eating too much chalk.
Yeah, well, and that's how it can be. So the contrarians won today. We do love to see it. We don't love just seeing the chalk nuke week after week. Unless, of course, it's Haaland who just nukes no matter what. Ryan, let's get into this two-gamer. This is a more interesting slate, as in really anything can potentially happen, whereas today Arsenal were slated to dominate and Barcelona were pretty hefty favorites. We basically have two toss-up matchups. So Borussia Dortmund's hosting PSV. That tie, I have it down as 1-1. I hope I'm reading the right thing in my note sheet that I have right here. So everything to play for in that matchup. Dortmund are slight favorites, 45%. I think in DFS, we can just treat this like a toss-up, especially if you're playing GPPs, and it has the highest implied goal total. I mean, it has 0.6 more implied goals than a, you know, KG projected matchup between Inter Milan, who are on the road to Atletico Madrid. Inter are nursing a one-goal lead, and they're going to have to withstand a siege. I mean, you know, Simeone's Atletico Madrid does not go down without a fight in European competition. So I'm really, you know, I have the multicast up, Ryan. I think I'm just going to watch the Inter-Atletico game. That has an opportunity to be a real vintage European classic. There's a few injuries as well that we're looking into. So we'll notice that Antoine Griezmann is questionable. He's missed the past four games, but he's on the squad. Is he going to start? Is he only going to come up at halftime? I don't quite know. For PSV, Joey Veerman's been sick for like 2 weeks, apparently, which is kind of crazy. Is he going to start? And what do we do about the PSV set pieces? There's a few injury situations and a little bit of uncertainty in this one. I mean, Ryan, just to swing it to you, I mean, Atletico come with this lineup where it's Memphis and Morata, and we have Griezmann on the bench. Like, how are you going to approach Atletico Madrid on this slate, missing their star man?
Yeah, this is a very interesting slate for a lot of reasons. Starting with that question, yeah, like, are we assuming Griezmann on the bench? I kind of think he's going to start. So, like, first of all, we're going to have to check for news on this slate. That'll be the first thing. Is Griezmann starting? Is Joey Veerman starting? Without Veerman in there, you're going to have Chucky Lozano on the right-footed sets. He took almost all the corners over the weekend. He would probably split with Bakayoko. But if Veerman starts, Veerman will take most of the corners, I would assume, with maybe Bakayoko one or two with the left foot. For Madrid, yeah, if Griezmann doesn't start, you know, all their guys are pretty cheap, so I still think you can play them. First thing, you know, going back to your comment about only watching that Inter Atletico game, you know, I don't know about that because the other game has a much higher total, 3.2 to 2.6. You know, Inter, yeah, I don't know. The totals seem kind of accurate to me. You know, Inter's a tough team to create chances against and break down. And that's not like Atletico's strong suit either, especially if Griezmann doesn't start. But I don't know. I feel like you got to talk about the slate both ways. I feel like Griezmann is probably going to start. You should at least be prepared for that. So then you look at the slate, like, it's tricky because who are the locks, or even who is the first guy into your lineup? It's very debatable. And it's even debatable if you want to play set piece takers. There's questions around all of them. Like, let's say Joey Veerman starts. He's 8,600. And you know, they're an underdog and he's just coming back. Like, wouldn't really want to click that. Julian Brandt sets for the biggest favorite. He's priced up to 8,800, gone 60-ish minutes in his last couple starts. Never a fun click, even when he's 7K in these spots. Now up to 8,800. Then you look at Inter, Çalhanoğlu. Also never a fun click. Also coming back from injury. Maybe unlikely to play 90. Nursing a lead. Don't feel great about that one either. Then it would be Griezmann. Maybe it would be Griezmann. So probably going to play Griezmann, right? Just considering all the stuff I just mentioned, even though he hasn't played in a while, I still think at least for cash games I would click him. Kind of a rambling breakdown. I don't know. There's a lot on this slate.
No, it's a new slate, and I think it's fine to be rambling because there's so many different decision trees that we have to look for. First, Ryan, in defense of my viewing preferences, I know it's a lower total, but if there's a team and a manager who have a style of making exciting, low-scoring games, I will say that it's Atletico Madrid. Yeah, I mean, how would they look without Griezmann? I think I would play Griezmann if he starts. Let's check my dummy lineup that I made pretty quickly. Yeah, I fit him in I fit him in right away. It's just a tough fade when he's going to be chasing the game for, if he starts, he's got to be fit for at least 60 minutes, right? Like, you're not going to play Griezmann just for one half. If he starts, he's going to be able to go at least a little bit more, because if he's only fit for one half, just bring him on when Inter's legs are tired. That's my low IQ take, but I don't know. You know, Atletico Madrid, I'm hiring as a consultant if you want. So, I mean, that's an option. But, yeah, I thought everyone was expensive. There's no way that Joey Veerman is match fit. I think he's been out since February 24th, and we're looking at today's March 12th. So I'll double-check the blurb when you talk next, Ryan, just to confirm that. That, again, that's just not a player who's going to be match fit for an important matchup on the road against Borussia Dortmund. So I have worries there at 8,600. And so you're kind of funneled into a situation where I feel like you just can't afford Julian Brandt. So you sort of do, but it's like, it's tough to play Hakan, who's missed four games due to a leg injury. And this Inter team makes a lot of substitutions. So if you think about a good slate, maybe one theme is maybe just don't play the chalk. I mean, a lot of these players are sort of boring set piece takers as well. Hakan gets bailed out with penalties a lot, which, I mean, he's running really good. That's a little bit random. Brandt is, I think, a better option, but I don't know. I think the guys who are hurt might be a little bit fragile, and it might just be worth, you know, just clicking goal scores, pretending like it's 2015 and just trying to find goals. How about that for rambling, Ryan?
I mean, no, that's what I'm thinking. I'm just kind of wondering who's going to be chalk, though. It's kind of tough to tell on this slate.
I have no idea. But maybe we can start at forward and just kind of see how things work out. If Griezmann isn't playing, I mean, who are we looking to at a forward position? The first thing that you mentioned was, well, okay, Atletico Madrid are cheap, and that's sort of appealing. Like, I know Mo mentioned him 2 weeks ago when he was on the show. We have Samuel Lino, who might be playing as like an attacking wingback at 5,800. That's somewhat interesting. I think he's a player who has a floor that you could look to. I mean, I think you could play someone like Bakayoko at 6,900. I mean, just treat it like a toss-up. He's on the road. It's a little bit tricky, but I think we were happy to pay even more for him in the reverse fixture. So he remains a decent play. Then I think if you want to be able to afford set piece taking midfielders still in cash games, that's still where I want to lean. I think you might have spending down at forward might make a little bit of sense. I mean, it'll be easy to do if Griezmann doesn't start. So if he does start, you know, maybe going all the way down to Lino opens up some salary so you can still play, you know, decent defenders and things like that. What do you think though?
Yeah, I think Lino is an option in all formats. I'm not sure if you need to go that low for cash, but maybe. If Veerman doesn't start, I think you got to play Lozano for 7,200, just with the expectation that he takes most of their corners, or at least half. Now I'd want to play Bakayoko too. I kind of want to play Bakayoko no matter what, actually, on this slate. Just feels like he might have a couple set pieces in him, might have 90 minutes. I like that game environment better than the other one. So yeah, definitely looking at one or two of those PSV guys. And yeah, I don't know. I think you broke it down good. Griezmann, if he starts, if he doesn't start, I guess you could consider Depay, because he would be splitting sets with somebody, or maybe even taking most of them, depending on what the lineup is. So yeah, I think you're gonna play Griezmann, and if he doesn't start, you kind of got to play Depay, right? I mean, he's really cheap.
How much is he?
65.
Oh, geez. Yeah, I'm usually not screaming to play.
I
mean, Memphis,
I don't know if I've ever played him this season, but. Yeah, I don't know. You wouldn't want to play, you know, he'd be in line for a halftime sub, or at least, I don't know. But if Griezmann doesn't start, you got to figure he's not fit. So I don't know. Tough.
Well, if these are the lineups that Adam has, the projected lineups, and he has all of the random news nailed, which is a virtually impossible task. I mean, yeah, I mean, playing both Bakayoko and Lozano, I think that's sensible. I think you could justify that even if Griezmann doesn't even if Griezmann starts, just because of the salary that you save. A construction like that is going to allow you to spend up twice a defender. Now, maybe I'm too bullish on a two-defender type of build in this situation. Like, do we have to pay for Fede DiMarco? I saw Ian Mattson has taken some direct free kicks recently in Champions League. He's an attacking player. And I think those are the two best defender options. But, I mean, I don't know. It's a quick turnaround these Tuesday slates, so maybe I'm missing something. So with a view towards playing set pieces, and if Fearman's not playing, I think that's one case for maybe spending down a little bit. But I don't know. Every time I start talking about fading Griezmann, it just feels like a bad idea after fleshing it out for 2 minutes.
Yeah, no, I agree. I don't think there's any reason to fade him. I think you could play both PSV guys. I probably would if Veerman didn't start. I remember Mo talking about, we said on that pot, this was going to be the Griezmann time. He was all over Griezmann here. I remember back to that other pod, we said no one's going to want to play Lautaro here, right? And it kind of seems that way. I don't know. Like, we didn't even mention him yet. Do you think he's going to be popular in tournaments?
I think he'll be popular in tournaments. And I don't know. Maybe if this was leg one, it might be worth having discussion. Because one thing I had on reflection the previous day with Lautaro is we're like, oh, we can't play Lautaro in cash. But I mean, in a lot of good spots, he's a player who can collect shots and can hit a floor in that way. Like, I don't know, he's the focal point of the attack. I feel like Marcus Thuram is much cheaper, and I'm not even in GPPs remotely interested in playing Marcus Thuram. Again, well, maybe I should embrace, you know, not just playing chalk all the time. But I think he will be popular. He's been playing fantastic lately. He hits big floors, and if he hits one goal, he's a player who can score 20 points. I don't know. It seems pretty reasonable to me, but you have to pay up. And if people are first clicking set piece takers at midfield, it makes it a difficult proposition.
Yeah, actually, he probably will be more popular than I thought at first. It's actually pretty easy to play him, especially because the set piece takers aren't very good. So it's kind of easy to fade them.
Yeah. And like, does Bakayoko have midfield eligibility? I think like there's enough dual eligibility going on. No, he doesn't. Okay, well, disregard.
But Lozano does. That might matter.
Depay does as well. So options like those. Okay, yeah. So if there's no Griezmann, you can play Depay at a midfield spot, and then you can play Chucky Lozano at a midfield spot. That allows you to look towards some goal dependent options. I mean, you could play Fulkrug at 7,600. Dortmund need a goal. I mean, Alvaro Morata at 7,100. I know that game has a low total, but Alvaro Morata will probably be taking penalties. Probably. Wait, is that the case? Maybe I shouldn't be so sure if Morata would take a penalty. I feel like he's missed some in his career, so maybe that wouldn't be the job. But at 7,100, being the leading man for Atletico Madrid, oh, there's plenty of places to target goals at the forward position. Any names ring up to you as a name that sounds appealing to you?
Malin's been in good form.
No one's going to play him at 8,500.
Yeah, he's scored in like four or five straight starts. Scored last time against PSV. Obviously, a revenge spot again. Yeah, he loves to shoot. So he seems fine. Whoever the other Dortmund forward, seems fine. I mean, Sancho is a tough click, but he's really cheap at 5,500. Maybe we see Adeyemi. He started one game recently, but seems doubtful that he starts here. But I would have interest there just because I don't think many people would play him. Yeah, I don't know. I think that's about it.
Yeah, I mean, I think you sold me a good options, especially if taking advantage of the dual midfield forward eligibility. It seems like you can just find players with ceilings and then hope some of these floor players just, you know, hit floors. We got Ozzy in the chat saying Sancho or Lino. I think it depends on the contest, to be completely honest, and the nature of the lineup. Lino probably projects a little bit better than Jadon Sancho. Sancho is going to be someone who's subbed off, but he does have a very good ceiling and more likely to score a goal, I think.
Yeah, I would think that their ownership would be about the same, though. Just with Dortmund being the biggest favorite and Sancho's 300 cheaper, so I think you just play whoever you think the best play is. I don't really know who that is, unfortunately. Sancho hasn't been very good, but he finally scored his first goal last game for Dortmund over the weekend. I don't know. Maybe that's something. I think Lino has a higher floor for sure. And Lino can score goals too.
Yeah, I think I underrated his goal scoring odds. It's a plus 450 versus the plus 300 from Jadon Sancho. So seems like a coin flip. I mean, whatever correlates best with your lineup. I mean, look at who your goalkeeper are. Look at the other spots. You can just sort of let it. You can sort of Ouija board it. Let the lineup decide your punt forward option. Anything else about forward? It seems pretty wide open, Ryan. I mean, especially if Griezmann doesn't start.
Yeah. No, nothing else.
All right. Well, then we can dig into midfield. So again, we talked about the expensive options. Joey Veerman, who I have to find the blurb just to check how long he's been out sick for. 8,600. I mean, if I knew he was playing 90 minutes and he was fully fit, seems like a decent option, even as a slight underdog. But there's some fragility there. There's always fragility with Akan because he's just a deeper playing midfielder. So that can be a tough situation, even at 7K. You're basically looking for a bunch of set pieces, which doesn't really make sense with a 1-0 lead, or you get the penalty, which has been very profitable if you've been grinding Interleague this year. So I wouldn't blame you for going down that road. I feel like, Ryan, you're like a little bit more bearish on Julian Brandt than I am. When I see a player who takes most of the set pieces, I've noticed he splits a little bit with Sabitzer lately. I think he usually plays 80 minutes. You need to spend your money somewhere. As far as the spend up midfielders go, I'm probably most enthusiastic about Julian Brandt. And at 8,800, I mean, just the pricing dynamics of the slate sort of permit it, so I'm not as frustrated by it. I don't know. So why are you a little bit more down on Julian Brandt?
I'm just sort of always down on him. But I guess, yeah, on this slate, I'm more okay with him just because he's almost seems like the best of a bunch of not really good options. He's just too expensive for his range of outcomes, I think. I don't know. I just see his last two games, 65 minutes, 66 minutes. I mean, he does have 90s in there, but they're getting healthier now. This isn't like a smash spot for Dortmund, but he might be the most likely for 10 floor points. I mean, there's no way I can play Çalhanoğlu in this spot. Just can't do it. Let me see. I think he just came back. I think came back.
4 games off a leg injury, and I did find the blurb on RotoWire. Shout out our great news blurbs. But, he has not played for February 24th, and it's a little vague. We have what appears to be an illness. It just doesn't sound like a player who's fit for a full 90 to me, Ryan.
Yeah, so that's tough, too.
I mean, is Çalhanoğlu going to be fit for a full 90 with his current injury issues? I know Aslani's been playing in his spot recently.
Yeah, I just see he started and played 61 minutes over the weekend. He had been out for the 3 games prior. Yeah, just with Inter winning. And yeah, I don't see a reason to do that. Like, you're really hoping for the penalty. Seems difficult that he would get there on floor points. I'm fine with Brandt just because there's not much else.
Do you expect this game to go with Atletico having a little bit more possession? I mean, Inter are going to be defending the lead, but you mentioned that you think Atletico might struggle to break teams down. And I think that might help inform a little bit of an opinion on Çalhanoğlu, right? Like, Inter are going to need some possession, or they're going to need to have some intent on the counterattack if they're going to be able to actually like draw a penalty or like see that sort of upside, you know, force a lot of corners. Yeah, I'm just wondering, for Inter, is that game script even going to be there, or are they going to park the bus? I just don't know enough about Inter and their DNA to know how they'll approach the game.
I mean, they're just really tough to score against. I don't know. Like, I haven't watched a lot of either of these two teams play. There's rarely a lot of floor points for Çalhanoğlu in like neutral matchups. You know, it's why we always talk about, even on like interleague slates, do we want to play him here? You're still like almost hoping for a pen. Just like he plays pretty deep a lot of times, and But like, there still is Penn upside. I mean, Lautaro is going to have chances. They could draw Pens. They'll have chances on the counter, especially in the second half if Madrid are still chasing. But yeah, I just don't think he gets there on an open from an open play floor very often.
And with set pieces, I'm just trying to visualize what's his ownership going to be in tournaments. I feel like, you know, there's not going to be like, oh, is everyone going to be underplaying Hakan because of the game script? He's just going to get the requisite ownership because he always does, I think. So,
like, maybe if you were more confident that he was playing 90 minutes, and I mean, he could play 90 minutes, but seems kind of unlikely.
Yeah. I'd almost rather in tournaments look to the services of Marcel Sabitzer. I don't know why I like Sabitzer so much. I think he's just kind of like a very typey player. He must have rewarded me in some Euro qualifier slates. But a guy splitting set pieces in a more positive matchup at 6,200 on a team with some attacking intent. I even think Sabitzer had the world's most pathetic assist in the reverse fixture. Just a quick tap and then someone dribbled it like 20 yards. That's an option I like in tournaments once more. I think I mentioned him last time. But Ryan, if I keep scrolling down, the Atletico Madrid guys, as we mentioned earlier, they're cheap. I mean, Rodrigo De Paul has some floor games in him at 4,500, especially if Atletico Madrid have to push. I think Marcos Llorente is a good player. It depends what type of role he's in because he's a bit of a Swiss Army knife. I think there is some punt options that we can mine for upside. I mean, Pablo Barrios, we haven't projected to start. I think Mo mentioned him a couple of weeks ago. He's an option that you can look at. So if there's a spot where it's okay to punt in a spot or maybe even punt in the utility, it looks like, you know, maybe use a cheap midfielder in the utility spot. But if you do that, which one looks good to you, Ryan?
I like all of them. I think you could take a chance on any of them. I think this is a good slate to punt one of those midfield spots. I don't think you're going to get crushed at the position that often. I mean, you still could, obviously. Which one looks best to me? Kind of like Barrios, actually.
Only 3,300.
Yeah, just from when I seen him play, I like how he plays. He seems good. He's highly rated. Seems like he's in play for 90. I mean, I could never click Koke. He just doesn't really do anything and always gets subs. So I shouldn't say any of them. I'm not playing Koke. But yeah, I don't mind DePaul or Llorente. I think they have a little bit of goal assist upside. I think they're all fine. I just chose Barrios really because he's cheapest and shot at 90 minutes.
Yeah. I also chose him just because I had 3,400 left in my dummy lineup. And I thought, can't be brutal for a dummy lineup. That's just in case, the world ends or students come to my office hours or something and I'm caught in trouble. Anyone that we're missing at the midfield position? I know that we have like Goose Till highlighted to start, or the fusion, Goose Tillman, the fusion of Malik Tillman and Goose Till, which I screwed up last time. Do you have an opinion on any of these central midfielders for PSV, Ryan, if they start? I feel like, you know, I don't know anything about Moira Jr., but I feel like Goose Till and Malik Tillman, I think they're players that can also get a goal or an assist. I mean, you're paying 1,000 more than, you know, someone like Rodrigo De Paul. I think they're at least options worth considering, especially at their prices in a good matchup.
Yep, I think you're right. They're both relatively attacking. At least they can be. Tillman was really good in the first leg. I remember being disappointed not playing him. I think he finished with 13 floor points. He had chances to score, only one shot, but he was in the box quite a bit. Price tag is, you wish it would be cheaper, but yeah, he does have goal assist upside. And Till too. I just think Tillman seems more likely to play longer, if that matters.
I think that's reasonable. I think Tillman was on the CBS Golazo show and they asked him how much he paid for a haircut because that's like a bit with what's his face? Big Meeks. I'm forgetting his name all of a sudden. But he said, he's like, yeah, I paid like $350. And for like 2 minutes, they thought he was paying $350 for his haircut. But that guy gets to pay $350 euro, whatever. I can't say dollar and euro in the same thing. That must be nice. I paid way too much for my recent haircuts. That is far too tangential, Ryan. Is there anyone I've forgotten at the midfield position?
I don't think so. Sorry, you got me sidetracked talking about haircuts.
My apologies.
Yeah, no. No.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Let's move on to defender then. I guess the elephant in the room in this one is we have Fetty DeMarco at 6,300. The man forever being subbed off at 65 minutes. It just doesn't seem like he's taking many set pieces this season, especially in comparison to Hakan. So I'm trying to understand what the thesis for DeMarco could be. I don't think he's going to play 90 minutes in this spot, and he's expensive. I mean, outside of, you know, maybe Madrid get an early goal, you can think about game scripts where you might want to start getting some inter-attacking pieces. That makes sense. Just from an optimal point of view, I mean, I don't like saying it, but, like, are we going to pay for Fetty DeMarco in this spot? You're not getting many set pieces, and it's a 70-minute player. At the same time, who the heck else are we paying for at the defender position? I mentioned that I like Ian Mattson, but that is maybe more of a GPP play. I'm paying $5,700 for a player who maybe should be $500, $700 cheaper than that. Maybe he takes an odd set piece here or there, but I don't know. I thought he at least looked promising in the other leg. And then scrolling down, I mean, Teze is fine. Bastoni at 4,400. I know he has a floor, but that's priced in at 4,400. It just seems like maybe the right word to say, Ryan, is defender is efficiently priced. So how are we going to deal with an efficiently priced defender position?
Yeah, I think you broke it down well. Like, you can fade DeMarco, but do you need to?
I don't think you need to, is the thing. Like, I'm saying it, but it's like thing. To play Mattson, like, and punt. I don't know. It doesn't feel right.
Like, going into it, I was exploring fading him just because, yeah, I'm not sure how great of a play he is in this spot. I mean, what did he do? Look at the last game. But Carlos Augusto is out. This might mean something. I think he's the one who usually subs in for DeMarco. So if we could get 90 minutes of DeMarco here, that seems a little bit better. At least the chances might be higher. Have to maybe check into that a little more. Mm-hmm. Just in general, part of the reason I like this slate, I think I don't really want to punt. I think punting defenders is a losing strategy most of the time. So it's a slate where, you know, like yesterday we're talking about center backs, and to me, yeah, I want to spend up for two of the fullbacks. I'm not really sure who, but like all of the fullbacks in the Dortmund PSV game, I think are viable. I like Dest maybe the most. I think I said last slate that I would play Teze over Dest, and I don't think it's that clear. Dest made, like, they're about equal. Dest scored a great goal over the weekend. Actually, every time I've watched him recently, it's been really impressive.
He's been doing better for DFS and Champions League especially, and it seems like that's been translating to his league form as well. 4,300, that might be a little bit of a slight soft spot. Maybe he should be a little bit more expensive. And maybe people just play Teze over him.
Yeah, that's kind of what I thought. Teze is a fine play too. You mentioned Madsen. I think he's a good play. He's attacking. He might take a set piece. He's been playing well in the league, so I think he's fine. I don't think, you know, we don't have Molina projected to start, but he could. And when he starts, he takes corners. So that may be an option. But really, I want to play fullbacks. Ozzy, that's good to know, actually. Looks like this. I'm going to check into that more, too. Like, because I don't really want, like, I don't really want to play DeMarco.
I think he's
fine. But, like, if he went 90 minutes, I would want to play him.
Yeah, I mean, he's just not going to go 90 minutes. I mean, he did in the Champions League final, I think, much to our tilt. But,
that was too funny.
That was a year ago. I can't be tilting about that on this show.
He probably won't play 90, right?
Yeah, I feel like the wingbacks almost never play 90 on Inter. I feel like they do a lot of work, and the manager rotates them around just so they can be the engine for that team. I mean, I don't know. So if Cherby's subbing on, I feel like nothing's really safe when it comes to that. But I also agree with you. I want to play fullbacks. I think I was being maybe too precious about cash games when talking about DeMarco earlier, because, you know, I don't need to play Madsen. Dest is probably just as good as Madsen for 1,400 cheaper. Madsen's more of a tournament style play. But I think the wiggle room is there, especially if you need to pay up for a little bit more luxury at certain forward positions. Even if DeMarco scores 10 points, you can get 8 points from Dest. It might not be that big a deal.
Could you is this a 3-defender slate even, maybe?
The way that we're talking about it,
I think it could be.
Guys, yeah.
You know, I'm just checking about, you know, I see. So DeMarco played 90 minutes on January 19th in the semifinals of the Cup against Lazio. Played 81 minutes in the finals of the Cup against Napoli. I'm just 90 minutes once back in December. I'm just trying to figure it out. You know, Acerbi is a center back. So if that game's level, like if Madrid score, I can see him staying out there. I mean, you're not going to bring on Acerbi for him in that case. At least I wouldn't think so. I don't know.
I think that's a fair point. I mean, it seems like maybe one connection, you're talking about a cup final. Big games, he's going to push it a little bit more.
Yeah, I'm just trying to look for, you know, at least some evidence that he can play 80 or 90 minutes.
I mean, this might be one of the biggest games of the season for Inter. I assume that they have Serie A basically in block hold, so they're going to get Atletico Madrid's best effort. So maybe he will see a little extra time. I think that upside case is there, and I think that's not just a wish casting. I think it makes sense.
Yeah, me too.
There are plenty of cheap center backs, but I mean, the fullbacks are playable. So, I mean, you can go ahead and play Nicolas Sulla, and then he's going to score a goal. Oh, well.
Yeah, he's fine for 2,800.
Yeah. Big guy too, right? I think I signed him in like FIFA 2015. He was like a promising 19-year-old my scouts uncovered. And I don't think he ever improved on his rating, but it's good to see him still kicking it. Always a budget-friendly option if you need a guy down there.
Yeah, it doesn't. It seems okay. I don't think I'm gonna do it, but it seems okay. I guess it depends on the lineups.
Yeah, for sure. So maybe we can move on to goalkeeper then. Just taking a look at it, the pricing is kind of interesting. My first impression was that Benitez for a goalkeeper who's like 25% to win, that's a little bit cheap at 3,900. I'm not used to seeing, like, I'm used to goalkeepers price 3,900 to be like, you know, 15% to win or something like that. That seems like a soft spot in pricing to me. I mean, this is like picking pennies off the ground, but at least stands out. Ryan, I mean, Jan Sommer at 5,000 for a tournament goalkeeper, he's going to face shots. 5,000 is not that expensive. and you're talking about one of the best defenses in Europe right now, that's probably going to, if there's going to be like a popular pick at goalkeeper, I think Sommer might be it.
That's funny. I was thinking Sommer might be the tournament play because he might. Oh. I was thinking maybe he go overlooked. So maybe. Yeah, I don't know what's going to happen at keeper.
Well, why might he be overlooked?
Well, I don't know. You see Oblak at home for cheaper with Madrid needing to win. I know that's what I used to prioritize. But now, yeah, you think Sommer probably has more upside. But I don't know. I don't know. Goalkeeper, man, it's so tough. I agree with what you said about Benitez. I think for 3,900 and a chance to win, wouldn't be surprised at all if PSV win. So I like that. Any of the keepers is fine. Even Koble's fine too. I mean, we saw Raya do it today. Koble's going to face shots for sure. This isn't necessarily a slate where you need to squeeze all the salary out. Like you might be able to spend up for keeper. Like you can make fades in other spots to give yourself money. But yeah, I don't know. Like, I don't know, Jack. It's goalie. I think you're right, though. I think Sommer has the most upside. I was thinking that I don't think he'll be that popular.
Yeah. Well, it's goalkeeper, right? They'll all probably be like between 20 and 30% because it's because there's only four of them to choose from.
Especially on a slate like this. I think they'll all be pretty similar.
I don't know. I just have a tough time believing that people are going to want to play Koble with 45% to win. You're paying 5,600. Like, you know, I said Benitez was too cheap. Have you ever seen it? That 5,600 is not the price we usually see for goalkeepers with this type of win odds. I don't know. It just seems a little bit strange.
I agree. I think, it's too expensive. I didn't want to click it for that. I think the other reason I said Oblak is because I was thinking you're probably going to have Griezmann or Madrid players, and you might not have Inter players, at least like in cash. You know, people don't play Lautaro or Hakan, you know, give me the cheap homekeeper.
Yeah, always a reasonable option. Throw a dart, whoever fits your lineup, I think, makes plenty of sense. So good luck with your goalkeeper selection. I don't know, Ryan. I think we just whipped around through everything. Wide open slate, and not clear who the best plays are, and we have to stay privy to the news. I don't know. Do you have any parting thoughts and parting wisdom for the 500 people who are definitely not bots watching the program live right now?
No, not really. You said yesterday Champions League is about getting off the chalk and finding some leverage, and we saw how that worked out. It's even easier to do that on this slate. So, yeah, I mean, I'm thinking of fading some of the set-piece takers for goals, some of these forwards in both games that just aren't going to be that popular. Not worried about, like, getting killed by the chalk as much. So, yeah, I think it's a good slate.
Should be fun. Well, thank you to everyone for joining us. I think we'll be around. I think Mo sent a message to DK support begging them to start posting the slates earlier. Maybe that means a return for the DK article. Maybe that means a return for the DK show. I won't hold out too much hope, but it would be lovely to see you all over the weekend for that. If not, you can find us in the Discord. So become a member, rotowire.com/soccer trial. Go to rotowire.com/chats to become a member. All the links are in the YouTube. Ryan, I see new members popping up in our Discord every day. So it's a lively community, people sweating games, joking around. And I think there's actually some good discussion in there as well. I don't know. And the price is right. It's $10 a month to watch some soccer and chat about it. I don't think there's a better deal in the daily fantasy sports space. And I don't know. We're here to try to offer you as much value as possible. So thank you to those subscribers. And if you're not, I hope you'd consider joining. But on behalf of myself and Ryan, good luck tomorrow, everyone.
Thanks, Jack. Good luck, everybody.